Thank you. So congratulations to everybody for being here. I think it solidifies an intention to show up. And however you're showing up today is not as important as you being here. So I offer my congratulations to everybody who have decided to do something about their addiction today. That's a glorious moment. I'll tell you, every night, every time I come here, I get excited. I'm just bouncing off the seat, not like Robert, mind you, but pretty close. Because I'm absolutely delighted to witness the sobriety that goes around, whether it's one day or 5 days or 10 years or whatever. It reminds me of my own transformation, and I thank you for that. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about step 10. And if you're not at step 10, don't worry. Maybe you'll pick up some ideas. Maybe you can just shelve it for the moment. And but if you are at least looking at or working at a nightly inventory, you may find something here very helpful. Now, I want to remind everybody that this isn't the way to do it. There's no such thing as the way. It's my way. It's my experience, my lived experience. So it's not like John has the answer to all of this. No, he doesn't. John is a sojourner. He's a traveler, a spiritual traveler like you. So I want to take you back to an experience I had many years ago. When it was a Tuesday night, the time was 10:17 p.m. Why I remember that, I can't tell you. The house is quiet, except for the sound of the refrigerator kicking on and off in the kitchen. I'm sitting at the table with a pen in my hand, not writing, just holding the pen. There's a piece of paper in front of me, clean, too clean, maybe. A cup of tea has gone cold beside it. The light over the table is a little too bright, the way a kitchen lights can be at night when the rest of the house is dark. And I'm trying to do something very simple. Take inventory. That sounds simple when you say it in a meeting. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. There it is, a sentence, a beautiful sentence. But it's 10:17 at night, with a pen in your hand and a day behind you, it's not just a sentence. It's the place where you have to sit still long enough to tell the truth. And for people like us, telling the truth is not always the first hard thing. Sometimes the first hard thing is finding the facts underneath all of that feelings. Because so many of us, feeling and fact got tied together a long time ago. Somebody did not call back. Fact. They are rejecting me, not a fact. Somebody disagreed with me. Fact. They did not respect me. Maybe, maybe not. I made a mistake. Fact. I am a mistake. No. That's the old sickness talking. That's not inventory. That's punishment, wearing a clean shirt. I had to learn that slowly. Because when I first came around the program, if you handed me step 10 and said, "Look at your day," I knew how to do only one kind of looking. I knew how to look for what was wrong. What was wrong with me? What was wrong with the room? What was wrong with the coffee? What was wrong with the weather? What was wrong with the way somebody looked at me when I walked in? I could find wrong in anything, and I did. I found it and I picked it up and carried it around like proof. See, there it is again. The world is against me, or worse, I am against me. That's a terrible way to live. It's a terrible way to pray. It's a terrible way to do step 10, because step 10 is not meant to be a nightly beating. It is not meant to be the alcoholic sitting down with a stick and saying, "Now let's see how bad I was today." That's not it. That may be familiar, but familiar is not the same as spiritual. For me, step 10 had to become a piece of self-care. That may sound strange to some people, self-care. We hear that word and we think of soft things, rest, a walk, a meal, sleep, a quiet hour. And those things matter. They matter more than we sometimes admit. But there's another kind of self-care, the kind where I stop letting my head lie to me. The kind where I sit down and separate what happened from what I made it mean. There's freedom in that, a real freedom. Because if I can put the facts on paper, I do not have to live inside the noise. So I sit there, pen in hand, and I ask the old questions. Was I angry? Was I fearful? Was I resentful? Was I dishonest? Those are good questions. They are necessary questions. They are necessary, but they have saved me from myself many times. But if I'm not careful, those are the only questions I ask. And if those are the only questions I ask, then I begin to believe that anger, fear, resentment, dishonesty are the whole story of me, and they are not. My defects of character are not my identity. I am responsible for them. I see them. I admit them. And I must make amends when they harmed another person. But they are not the deepest truth about who I am. There's something in us that alcohol could bury, but it could not destroy. Already there, even on a bad day, even on a day when I was sharp with somebody, even on the day when I was afraid and tried to control everything within reach, even on the day I wanted credit for something I did quietly and then get resentful because nobody noticed. Still there. So the inventory has to be honest enough to see the defect and gentle enough not to make the defect my name. That took me a long time, friends. Because the alcoholic mind loves all or nothing. If I was wrong, I am all wrong. And if I made a mistake, everything was ruined. And if I hurt somebody, I should go away and sit in the dark and think about it for 3 days. That sounds like humility. Sometimes it's just pride turned inside out. Still about me. Still staring at me. Still making me the center of the room. Step 10 moves differently. It does not ask me to live in the mud. It asks me to notice that the mud is on my shoes and clean it off before I track through the house. That is a different thing, much different. And when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. Promptly. Not after I built a court case. Not after I explained to three people why I was technically justified. Not after I have rewritten the story so that I come out looking a little better. Promptly. That word has saved me a lot of suffering. Not all of it. I am still me, but a lot. Because where I notice something now, there is a little dial inside of me. Not a perfect one. Sometimes it sticks. Sometimes I pretend I can't hear it. But it is there. I notice I was sharp. I notice I was afraid. I noticed I wanted to win more than I wanted to be useful. I notice I was dishonest. Maybe not with my words, but what I left out. And then step 10 calls on life. I have already been given in the earlier steps. First, I turn toward God, not with a speech, sometimes not even with a good prayer. Sometimes I just help. Sometimes there is again. Sometimes it's sitting on the edge of the bed with my shoes still on, looking at the floor. Then I tell somebody. Not because I need a committee, because I need air. The thing that lives in my head gets smaller when it comes out of my mouth. I call somebody. Or I say to my sponsor, I need to tell you what I did. Or I sit across from a man in a coffee shop and I stop polishing the sentence. I just say it. I was wrong. I was afraid. I was trying to take control. I was not honest. And then, if I'd harmed somebody, I make amends. Not the dramatic amend, not the one where I explain all the reasons why I acted that way. Not the one where I say, I'm sorry you felt hurt. No, that old slippery thing. A real amend is simpler than that. I was wrong when I said that. I was impatient. I got pressure on you because I was afraid. I owe you an apology. And what can I do to make that right? And then this beautiful last movement, we turn toward outward. And we help somebody, not as a trick, not as to erase the mistake, but because self-absorption is a small room and service opens the window. That is momentum. That is step 10 moving. Notice, pray, tell, amend, help. It does not leave me deep knee in morass or my mistakes. It moves me through it. And sometimes through it is the miracle. I like that word, through, because I used to confuse spiritual growth with never making mistakes. If I was really sober, I would not get angry. If I was really spiritual, I would not be afraid. And if I worked the steps properly, I would not have resentment show up again. That's nonsense. That is perfection wearing a halo. The question is not whether a human being will make mistakes. The question is whether he has a way back. Step 10 gives me a way back before I drift too far, before the resentment becomes a story, before the fear becomes a plan, before the dishonesty becomes a lifestyle, before the anger becomes my voice. That's mercy, practical mercy. The kind you can do with a pen. And then there's another part of step 10 that I love more and more as I've gotten older. It asks me for something larger than what did I do wrong. It asks me about life. Was I loving and kind toward all? That's a difficult measurement, not softer, deeper. Because I can avoid doing obvious harm and still not be very loving. I could be technically correct and spiritually cold. I can be clean on paper and closed in my heart. Was I loving and kind toward all? That question will not let me hide behind being right. It asks me about my tone, my patience, my willingness. The look on my face when somebody needed 5 minutes from me and I had already decided I was too busy. And then this question: have I stopped fighting anything and anybody? That one still finds me. All of these years, it still finds me. Yes, after all these years, because I can stop drinking and still fight. Fight the day, fight the body getting older, fight the person who did not behave the way I thought they should, fight the traffic, fight the computer, fight the part of me that needs rest. Fight God quietly while telling everyone I am surrendered. Have I stopped fighting anything or anybody? Some nights I can write yes. Some nights I have to put the pen down for a moment. And then there's that wonderful question from the book.
5 minutes, John.
Okay, thank you, dear. What can I pack into the stream of life? I love that. The stream of life. Not the swamp of self, not the courtroom in my head, the stream of life. What can I pack into it? Kindness, a phone call, apology, a quiet word, a ride, a few minutes with someone who is new, a prayer for someone I would rather be angry with, a dish washed without making an announcement. small things. Almost always small things. But small things change the temperature of the day. And a changed day becomes a changed life if you let enough of them gather. That's what I missed early on. I thought step 10 was the only correction tool, something to catch the defect. And it is that. But it's also a direction tool that points me back toward the stream, back towards usefulness, back towards being a man among other people. Instead of the man trapped in the weather of his own head, I look around meetings sometimes and I see new people. I see the way a man sits with his coat still on, like he might have to leave quickly. I see a woman turning the coffee cup a quarter turn and then another quarter turn and not drinking it. I see someone laugh a little too fast when nothing is funny. I know that place. Not their story. I do not know their story. But I know something about the knot inside. I wish I could hand them the whole thing at once. I wish I could say, you are going to be more than this fear. But that's not how it works. So we give them what was given to us one day, one inventory, one honest line on a page, one apology before the sun goes down on it, one phone call instead of 3 hours alone with a story. That is how freedom comes for people like us. Not all at once, not usually, anyway. It comes in small, honest movements we make before the old life has time to rebuild itself. Tonight, if I sit at that kitchen table again, I may still pause before I write. I may still feel that old pull to make a case against myself or against somebody else. I may still want to turn a fact into a sentence with a verdict at the end. But now there's another way. I can write the fact. I can leave the friction on the page. I could ask whether I was angry, fearful, resentful, or dishonest. I could ask whether I was loving and kind. I could ask whether I have stopped fighting. And I could ask, what can I pack into the stream of life? And then I can get up from the table, not perfect, not finished, just freer than when I sat down. The tea is still cold. The refrigerator still hums. The paper is no longer clean. And the pen is lying beside it. Not in a fist anymore, beside it. I'm going to post an infogram on step 10 for you to have. It will help remind you of this process simply and colorfully. I want to tell you how much I appreciate your generous listening, and I'll turn it back to the group.